Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Slow Down podcast. My guest today is Angela Agronoff of the Unclutter Angel. She comes to us from Colorado, and she is a life organizer and organizational mentor on a mission to help you reclaim your space. She's also a wife, a mother of three, and an author. So excited to talk to you today, Angela. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
It's definitely going to be fun. I want to pick your brain on so many different topics today. Why don't we start off by just sharing with all of our listeners about what the Unclutter Angel is and what you do?
The Unclutter Angel was started in 2012, so it's a little over 10 years, but I feel like I've been organizing most of my life. I remember as a kid, like organizing the class library and things like that. So it's always been kind of a passion of mine. But what's interesting is I'm an artist, so it kind of seems like the two are kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum, being an artist and an organizer. So I feel like it gives me this great perspective in helping a variety of people and understanding what their needs are. And I like helping people organize not only in their space, but also their schedules and routines, because I know that you can get cluttered in all of those areas. But I'm also a life skills teacher for kids online. And it's just super fun to teach kids. Ages range from 5, I think I'm up to 14 or 15 year olds now. So just teaching the cleaning and organizing classes and crockpot cooking and cursive handwriting, just all of those fun life skills that they don't really teach in school anymore.
That's amazing. I honestly never even really thought about that there's classes like that for our kids online in that capacity. You know, I've heard of like learning a foreign language online or maybe a new hobby or something, but I mean, this falls right in there with that. And you're the first person that I've ever met that does that. So, and the ages that you have are such a wide range. So, I mean, you're covering so many different topics and depths of each topic, right? With all those different ages. So interesting. And I love how you just mentioned using really both sides of your brain with the artist piece and then the organizer piece, which are seemingly opposite sides, right? Right and left side of the brain. I am as well. So I just want to share that with you. And I was just reading something about it yesterday. So funny that this came up. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician. So very much, you know, right side of the brain. And I had seen something online. It was like a little test. Like if you see the horse going forward, then you're more left brained. And if you see the horse walking backwards, and for me, it was completely backwards. So it confirms I'm a right side of the brain thinker, which is the creative side. But I also am very passionate as well about decluttering and making life organized enough to be able to just get through the day feeling like I'm not overwhelmed and I don't have too much on my plate. So I think it's a nice balance to have an interest in both and have strengths in both sides. I think that's why you're adding so much to the world with all these things that you're doing. We were talking right before we hit record about how decluttering all of it, the physical stuff, the mental stuff, the schedules, how it just adds so many benefits to our life. You know, I think so many times people just think of organizing and decluttering as like, okay, well, now my closet's cleaner, right? Or now I can see all the food in my pantry, but it goes so much deeper than that. So let's talk about that. What have you seen in your 10 years of experience, some of the biggest benefits that embracing this in your life can add?
I think that I try to look at this a little bit differently than probably a number of organizers, where for me, I've always thought of the emotional side to it or the mental side to it and not just about making things pretty, because you can work really hard to make something look really nice. But if you don't have the emotional piece where you're ready for that, to keep it that way, because it's one thing to do it, but then it's another thing to keep it that way. It just, for me, doesn't work. So when I work with people, I definitely like to work on the emotional side of things. Because, you know, clutter in our minds, we kind of touched on that a little bit, kind of can match the clutter in our space. So I think definitely the two go hand in hand. And I like to work with people on both aspects of it, because then I see they make more progress. They're able to keep their space that way, or even be more in tune to when they're kind of slipping back into a certain pattern. So I always do full disclosure with my students online when I teach with them, like things that I struggle with, because I have to keep myself in check. So being a creative, like we were talking about, like I have this thing about papers. I'm visual. I like to see things. It can be a struggle for me sometimes. And it does help though, because then I'm very compassionate towards the people that I work with. It was like, I get it. These papers, it's like, I feel like I have to kind of see what's going on. And so I just have to create systems that work for me to keep them in a way that works for me, but not crazy. And so I think definitely the physical clutter and the emotional side of it are two different aspects that we should work on kind of at the same times. I liked the whole topic of, you know, simple living and thinking about decluttering create that simple life. Because if you're in a room with a bunch of stuff, it doesn't feel very simple.
No.
Yeah, it feels just probably heavy and complicated and overwhelming. And I like to help people even just kind of get in touch with whatever it is they're feeling, because that is a real motivator when it comes to tackling a project or a room or understanding how it got to that point.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much correlation between that outer environment and then our inner world and what's going on in our mind, that clutter in our mind. We were talking about the why of it all. I think that that is the biggest piece. Like, okay, we can clean up a room or we can even lighten our load in terms of our calendar, but why are we doing it, right? Otherwise, we are going to fall right back into that those old routines and old ways that don't serve us, that are pretty much habit. That's kind of our default, a lot of us. So we have to be so intentional about making these changes, and I'm trying to work on this in my own life. It's hard. All of it's hard, but just the little steps, like let's start with one thing. Let's work on making the adjustments that we need to fit our life better rather than tackling like all of it at once. So whether it's a decluttering piece, like maybe just a room or a desk, or I do want to talk about those papers because I am also a very visual person. I have a lot of papers as well. I feel better when I write things down, but then the papers can become overwhelming. So we'll get back to that one. Mm-hmm. But how do you help people identify that why?
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes it happens over a process where if someone comes to me and it's like they know that they want to get this room clean because of whatever the event is, or it's a space they want to use for their office, or whatever it is. You know, they may not even know what their why is at that time. Like it's just to get the room clean. So for me, I feel like there's probably a few different layers. Sometimes it is just starting out with, let's just sit down and talk and break it down. And what are your goals, and setting the accountability and the steps, which are all great things. And then over time, it's for me, the people that I work with, it's very interesting to see as the layers come up, what else comes up, and maybe it becomes more clear to them. Other things in life, like it's not just about the room. So I feel like, and that's why I love this kind of work, because it's just more than pretty boxes and things like that. That is all great stuff. Like it's nice to have a beautiful room, but there's just a lot of it underneath. So I think over time, we kind of figure out what their why is and then how they can build off of that. And just to create this new great habit.
I love that. And what are some ways that you help people take those first steps once they kind of figure out why they want to do this, whether it's just more freedom. I know for me, a big one is really just to spend my time more intentionally with what's important to me. So that's my family. I'm an introverted person, so I do value some time on my own as well, and just trying to fit all of that in. And I have 3 school-aged kids, so all of their activities, obviously trying to keep those in check so that it's not too much, but also honoring the fact that they want to be involved in things, which we love, as you know, my husband and I support that. So just trying to find that balance and juggling all of the balls. It's like you said, it's always a work in progress. You know, I don't think we'll ever like achieve it. It's just going to be that constant journey, and also just pivoting and refocusing as things change and as what is important to us changes. So I'm sure, having done this for so long, you have some basic steps that you go through, or just, you know, tips that you give people. So I'd love to hear what some of the big ones are.
Okay. One thing I liked that you brought up was the whole like balance thing. Like, people are trying to find this balance. And one of my coaches had said to me something to the effect of, it's like, I don't know if she said it was like not a real thing, but to the effect of, it's just, it is always a work in progress. Like, you just don't like arrive. And for me personally, that gave me great relief, because my children are now a little bit older. So, you know, I had all these years with kids at home, and just like what you're going through. And it's just that the scheduling and this and that. And now I'm kind of in this different phase, but it's just, now it's a readjustment in trying to for this new phase in life. So for me, it's a relief to know that you're just working to make it work for you right now, whatever your space is, your schedule, your routine, that you don't ever have to feel like, when am I going to get there? When it's just part of the process. So that gives me great relief. And when I talk to clients, it's about maybe uncovering initially what they want to achieve with our time together, and then just asking a lot of questions and trying to understand what it is that they're looking for. And each person is different, but yeah, just breaking down those steps of just figuring out what their goal or their intention is for their project or their space or their schedule or routine. And sometimes having an end date might help. Like, for me, that motivates me, but that doesn't motivate everyone. So I have to kind of figure out, is it just something we just kind of want to work in little increments, or does a goal like an end date help them? So it's trying to learn their learning style or working style and then make it fit around them, our time together. And a big thing is just setting time aside. So people like to work in all different ways. It's like, I have a whole weekend. I'm going to set the whole weekend aside and I'm going to bang out this entire floor and get everything organized. It's like, okay, maybe some people can do that. I don't know too many that can. So what I always teach is just to set these small sessions of time, even if it's as small as 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and just set a small goal for this little window of time. I work with a number of people that, you know, being an online teacher with kids, the young kids, with, you know, ADHD and other things, like, all of us can use the more focused time, but
sure,
with them especially, it's just, it doesn't feel so hard and overwhelming when you can focus on, I can do 15 minutes. So just having people work just in small increments and see the awesome progress they can make over time. And probably one of the last big things is just making sure you schedule that time, the certain day of the week, the certain time of day, you know, the time of day you have the most energy. And then also just having a little accountability. Some people have pushback on accountability, but maybe it's just having somebody sit with you while you do it, having a coach, having someone you check in with, having that accountability, I think, can be motivating for some people, knowing that they're not in this alone. And
For sure. I think that always helps, and it helps you stick to what you're planning to set out to do. And it also just helps you feel like, okay, I can do this because I have help. I don't have to do it alone, even if it's just telling a friend, hey, I'm tackling whatever project right now. Like, how is that going on your end? It helps when you don't feel like you're the only one going through it or the only one struggling with it, because this, in my opinion, and from what I've heard from a lot of people, this is hard work. It's really hard work. And people think that's why a lot of us kind of avoid it or put it off. Like, okay, yeah, that, no, when I get that weekend, you know, in a couple of weeks, that's when I'll like just keep postponing it or just pushing it aside because people don't want to deal with it. But when they finally do, I actually just yesterday was at a family party and I had run into someone who I hadn't seen in a long time. And she is 70 years old and she is downsizing and moving from, you know, single family house now to a smaller, like a 2-bedroom apartment. And she's had to go through a lot of a lifetime of stuff between parents who have passed away, sibling who had passed away, child is out of the house now and grown. So totally new phase of life. And she's like, I just, you know, moved these boxes with me so many times and always had all this stuff, these lifetimes worth of stuff with me. And she goes, I finally did it. I finally went through it. I got rid of a lot. I pared down. I downsized. And she is loving it. Her space is just working so much better for her. And it affects your entire life. And she said, my only regret is that I didn't do this sooner. Really wish I had done this sooner. And we had a great conversation about it. It is, because it is really, it's difficult work, but it is so impactful, can really be life-changing. And I think people don't realize, or don't recognize how important this work is. So I love all these tips that you're giving us, and definitely going into it with a plan and with a friend can only
help. Add one more thing though too, and when you're talking about the friend you were talking to, and I find this with myself, I feel like this is probably everybody. It's really like the making the decisions. I think, like, yes, it'd be nice to have help moving stuff around or taking things to, you know, be donated or whatever. I mean, there's those tasks, but I feel like in my experience, what I found is just the making of decisions. Because some people, especially for the lifetime and appearance and all those things, like making hard decisions of, do I keep this? What do I do with this? Same with papers, memory items. It's like making all of those hard decisions, and it's just our brain wants to shut down. So just another great reason to maybe start with some of the simpler things when you're starting on stuff so that you can build up that muscle of making decisions, because starting with family photos or the chinaware or something is like, maybe that's not the best place to start, because
it's like advanced level stuff.
Yeah, those are hard decisions. Maybe having someone support you while you're making those decisions that you feel like would be a good advocate if you want to do that. But journaling your way through things to get that stuff down on paper, because we just want to add to our paper, right? But I find that with myself that I have to, there's just times where if I'm working on stuff, it's like, okay, now's a good time to stop. I can notice myself, my brain is just starting to shut down and kind of going all over. And so it's like, that's okay. And this is the perfect time to stop and to kind of keep that momentum going, even if you have to stop. To me, I like to encourage people to take pictures of their space just to kind of see the progress, to remind themselves, because I know sometimes it feels like I haven't done anything, but photos of the space can be a great motivator and reminder of where they've come from and where they're going.
Love that. And that's something I always forget to do. I'll tackle something and then I'm like, oh, I really wish I could have a picture just to see that progress and that growth. You know, we forget to do that sometimes, but those pictures do help. And you realize how far you've come, because a lot of times, like you said, these are small steps and you don't necessarily see this huge change immediately. Although I would argue that you would feel a little bit of a change almost immediately. I have noticed that with myself. These little steps do spark that encouragement and motivation inside to keep going. And it does, it feels better. You do feel lighter in a lot of ways. And that was the other thing my family friend said. She goes, I feel like I lost 150 pounds overnight with this move. Mm-hmm. Like, she just, this weight off of her mentally and it was just so fun to talk to her about that and see how happy she was and how this change just served her so well for this next chapter of her life. So it was very inspiring. Let's circle back for a minute about those papers, because even like what you just said, getting our thoughts out, like journaling through these difficult times, I've taken to that more. I have a very busy mind and getting it out on paper does help. At least if we can get out of our head onto paper, that's a start. Helps make sense of it all. So, but papers, the papers, like my desk, for example, I've been putting this off. I mean, I use it for my podcasting. I use it for my work. I have all my personal stuff, just regular calendars. I like paper calendars still. So I've got those. I've just got all these and I like writing post-it notes to myself. So many different areas of my life all end up on and in my desk. So it sounds like you sort of have a similar working style. So can you give us a few tips? Like, how do you tackle that?
Yeah. And I'm sure I probably will make some organizers cringe because there's some people that just have these very efficient paper systems. And for me, like I remember going to a big conference for an organizing group, and it honestly made my head hurt, like thinking about the systems they were talking about. It's like, I know that works for people. I mean, it's just was overwhelming for me. So I even use like very simple manila, like those file folders, and just have a file folder for maybe different things. And then just make sure that I go through those on occasion, you know, regularly to get rid of stuff. So to me, if I can keep like certain subjects, so if you have, you know, your podcast stuff or your kiddos stuff or things that you need to take care of just for home things, but you just have them, you know, for me, I put it on the corner of my desk, and that way at least keeps it contained and I know where they are in specific folders. That helps me, but I have to commit to go through that step. Otherwise, you know, it can pile
up. Just keeps growing.
But it's just, yeah, it's just making sure you kind of take action on those things. And then when things are done, you know, just recycle, toss, or I have like the permanent file case that I use. I try to keep it really simple. And honestly, the one thing that I haven't quite wrapped my brain around yet, like I have a scanner where you can scan documents into the computer. I just haven't made that leap yet. So again, there are probably people that might be cringing right now as I say that. But my husband, he took everything and he just scanned it and it's in his computer and that works for him. So maybe someday I'll bridge that gap. But
yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm not quite there yet, but I find at least I have like an old school file cabinet as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at least if I try to stay on top of it, and when that paper comes in, like, you know, a lot of times it's like a medical paper or whatever, something from insurance, like try to just put it away right away, or some of the grades and school stuff that comes in for the kids. If I stay on top of it, it's not too bad, but that can be hard to do sometimes. Sometimes things come in all at once and you end up with this pile, you know? So,
yeah.
So, yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is find a system that works for you. Obviously, we all operate so differently. We learn differently. We function differently. And we can also tolerate different levels of stuff and clutter, like in our space.
The work-life balance, we were talking about that, where for some people, it's like, that's just all not real. You know, maybe it is for some people, but you know, for me, that gives me comfort knowing that I can figure out what works best for me. I like to do the same with like the paper type of thing. So when I talk to kids in my classes, you know, we talk about different skills each week. And when with the papers, it's me giving them two or three different choices. They feel empowered because they can have the choice to pick what works best for them. And then they may stick with it more because it's like, I chose to do this as opposed to there's one way of doing it. And if you do not do it this way, you're doing it all wrong. So,
yep. Yeah. So would you, I was going to ask you about the kids also with just cluttering and organizing our spaces. So would you recommend the same for having your child clean up their room, like give them some choices or some options? How do you tackle that so that you're not just, so that I'm not coming in and just forcing my ways on them, because that never works.
And I think this can work with kids as well, adults, but But my big thing is like making it light and fun. So even for myself, I will make it fun. Like if I have a project to do, whether it's listening to a podcast or watching a movie or just something in the background or whatever it is, or the goal, like when I'm done with this, I'm going to go do that. I think it works for adults and it definitely works for the kids. So in my classes, it is all about having a good time. And I feel like 95% of kids that come to my class, I can just, by the looks on their face, I can tell the parent that said, you're taking this leading and organizing class.
It's a punishment.
They're not happy. But as they work through class, the majority of them, I could count on probably one hand, and I've been doing this for 3 years online, kids that are like, I'm not doing that again. Most kids at the end are like, I want to do this again, because we just kind of keep it light and fun. And I feel like that's the way to do it, even working as a family, you know, making a game out of it. We do all kinds of things in class, whether it's like treasure hunts or beat the clock or things like that. But keeping each one of our cleaning segments very narrow and focused, which I think is super key. Because I see the kids, sometimes they like stand in the room and they look around, you know, a tornado hit it. And it's like, no, we're just focusing on picking up your floor, picking up the trash, something very specific. And that seems to help. And that could help adults too. It's like, sure, if you just want to focus on your clothes, just do that for 10 minutes. And I think over time, it really creates a great habit. At least that's the feedback I have got from parents, that just over time, they're more enthusiastic about it because they understand how to break things down and make it more light and fun.
I love that. What are some of the top things that they enjoy? Like, I'd imagine there's some that everybody likes doing or most kids like doing. Give us one or two. Like beat the clock. I love that. Making it kind of a game.
Oh, to make it enthusiastic? Yeah, I tell teacher jokes sometimes. So sometimes we take breaks between each session and we'll just kind of do something fun. So it kind of switches their focus to something else. Some of the suggestions I've given maybe for them to like work with their family or even like challenging their siblings or, you know, working side by side with friends. The same things that honestly I've told you, like even like listening to a podcast or an audiobook or just music. So we definitely use music in class. That makes it more fun. It makes the time go by quicker. And honestly, by the end of class, they're like, okay, I did my room and I didn't even notice how much fun I was having.
Love it. You trick them into doing something and they think it's fun.
Well, and I understand, you know, being a parent of three, it's a little bit different when you're the parent and you're trying to tell your kid, please, clean up your room. You know, you try to make it fun and it's hard because you're the parent and sometimes they'll listen to someone else in a different being a parent. So I'm the other person. I think it takes pressure off. But
yeah. Oh, it totally does. And that's a perfect example of where like that support comes in. And maybe it's this type of support dealing with our kids and even for ourselves sometimes, just talking to somebody who's an expert in that subject, you know, even if it's just a session or two, just helps you kind of tweak the way you think about it or approach it and makes all the difference. You know, we do not have to tackle all of this alone. I am saying that to everyone out there, but also to myself big time, because we tend to just, you know, okay, I can do it. I can plow through it, but there's no need. And it can be a lot more fun when we bring in support. So that's great. I think that's fantastic that after the end of a session, kids' room can be clean and they had fun doing it and they're laughing and it's a game. So, and I love the idea of maybe having a little friendly competition between siblings, because that usually works pretty well. Kids like to win, but really mom wins, right? If all three rooms end up getting clean, then that's huge.
Yeah.
So this is great. These are all really great tips. I just want to take a minute. I know you have some books on the subject too. So tell us about your books.
I do have a few books on Amazon, and it just kind of breaks down different areas. There's a few of them. So you can check them out and they talk specifically about different parts of the home, whether it's your kitchen, your garage, things like that. And then I have one that's like specifically for EFT and decluttering, which is kind of a whole nother topic. But if that's something you're interested in EFT tapping, it kind of circles back to what we were talking about, just tapping into that emotional side of why clutter can just be difficult for us and understanding those different layers. So that's honestly one of my favorite topics when it comes to helping people get organized is, you know, integrating the tapping into it. Obviously, totally optional with the people that I work with, but
It sounds like another podcast episode, Angela. It's interesting.
Yeah. It is. I really, really enjoy it. And I think it's a good support for people. And so, yes, so that's my other book that I have that kind of taps into that different aspect of the emotional side.
Awesome. Yeah, it's amazing how much all of these topics and just embracing some of these things in our life can just make things more clear, you know, and this whole podcast is about simplifying life so that it's not so overwhelming. It's a crazy busy world out there. There's so much. And by simplifying our home and our minds, I find it is just so much easier. Like we kind of forget what's most important to us. What is truly the path that I want to be on? Because we can get so caught up in all of the things, right? The stuff, the emotional stuff, just committing to things. So to me, this has just been such a huge piece in helping me find clarity and feeling lighter, feeling like I can breathe and figure out what that next step is. So I think it's, you know, it's all about eliminating the stuff that doesn't really matter so that we can uncover the stuff that really does. So thank you for sharing all of your tips today. Do you have anything else you want to leave us with?
I think that pretty well covers it. I know if you go over to theunclutterangel.com, if you're curious about kids' classes as well, or just kind of looking into both sides of it, you can read more about that there.
All right. Thank you. And I will make sure, just so everyone listening knows, I'll link everything in the show notes so you can find Angela and all of her great offerings there, nice and easy. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Angela.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive, because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.